What is up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Miss Morgan Nichols. Morgan is a CFP, an APM, AACRPC, and a BFA. She's a private wealth advisor. We had a great conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. And then we got into money and values. We talked about how important it is to be intentional about your values, to get clarity on that, and then to align your spending, your investing, how you interact with your money with those values. We talked about the opportunity of leaving a legacy and how a legacy takes way more forms than simply leaving somebody money or an asset or something like that, how to be intentional and thoughtful about it. And then, of course, we closed with a great difference-making tip and talked about Morgan's new book, which is Intentional Legacy. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Morgan, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Absolutely. Okay, so here we go. I played golf in college. Jet skiing is my favorite summer activity. And Pilates is my favorite form of exercise.
Wow. A couple of favorites in there. And then also golfing in college. I believe all of them, Morgan, but not all of them can be true. So I'm going to guess that you don't actually like jet skiing at all.
Not correct. It's actually funny. I have a jet ski on a lake up in Virginia, and I dedicate my month of August to doing my remote thinking and working remotely and getting out on it as much as possible. It's the one area that I really have an adrenaline rush that has opened my eyes to other new activities.
I am going to need to seek atonement because jet skiing is everybody's favorite thing on planet Earth. So that was really stupid of me. What about Pilates? Do you actually like that or do you hate that?
I actually love it. It is my sanity. It's the only way that I get to be the person I am and try to keep my head clear and stretch my body because I sit a lot for my job.
Have you ever picked up a golf club before?
Yes. Yes, I have. I played in high school. Did not play for about a decade. Started picking it up again about a handful of years ago. And then I had a daughter. And once she, you know, started not sleeping most of the day, I'm kind of in that in-between phase. But I'm hoping when she gets a little bit older, I can start doing that with her.
Well, I think that sounds like an awesome plan. So has she been on the jet ski yet?
No, but she is fearless. She's so watch out, world.
She's going to love jet skiing the same as every other human being loves jet skiing, apparently, except for me. So
yeah,
excellent.
She's got my grit and her daddy's fearlessness. So
look out, world, indeed. I love it. Cool. Well, great job, Morgan. You got me. What is top of mind for you right now?
So, you know, I think we're sitting here, it's, you know, as we're recording this, it's right around Thanksgiving time, looking towards 2026. And, you know, I've just really been thinking about finances and values. That's a huge thing for me in my practice. But how do we think about that for 2026 and beyond? And for people I'm talking with right now, it's really looking at what are some of their top values and thinking about not just 2026, but who do they want to be 5 years from now? And using finances and values to really dig in deeper on how do we create a life that's as meaningful as possible?
Which makes all sense in the world, right? But it's not obvious to me that I don't think people are walking around wondering about that kind of stuff. So the opportunity that you have is obviously to help them with their finance, but also to think about, you know, what would you like your life to look like?
Right. And I think so much of the time we're focused on what's right in front of us. You know, have I planned my next travel vacation or do I, you know, what's coming up, what's the next holiday, but it's creating that space and that time to really sit down and personally reflect and say, like, who do I want to be 5 years from now? I'm working with some clients right now who are thinking about retiring at the start of the year. And so we've been digging in on some great conversations being like, okay, they want to live in the house they live in. You know, retirement's really important to them. family is something that they value significantly. So they want to be able to go travel, to be with their children, spend time with grandkids. And they really acknowledged, you know, for both of them, they want to live and travel while they can and understand maybe we're going to spend more money in that first 5 to 10 years of retirement. And we recognize that we're going to have to make a change a little bit later on. So I think it's a good time to get really crystal clear on what you individually want for your life. And then, of course, if you have a partner, just being able to share that conversation and make sure that you're on the same page. I just find that to be so critical. I ended up having that conversation with my husband actually a couple years ago. You know, we dug into our values and, you know, he's always talked to me about like, I want to retire young and I want to travel and I want to do these things. And I really got stuck on this whole idea of like, I want to travel young. But then when he shared with me that flexibility was one of his top values, it all made sense to me about having that flexibility in how you live your life. So, I think it's a great thing to reflect on and have those conversations as a family.
And really eye-opening too, I'm sure, because some people probably spend a lot of time thinking about these things and some people it's very, very abstract and maybe even people would think, well, who am I to be thinking about that kind of a thing?
Yes. And sometimes it doesn't feel like, okay, I have all these things I want to do, but you know, where do the finances fit in all to all of that, right? There's all of our want list or our dream list or our ideal life list. But I think when you really sit down, for us to live lives that are full of purpose, to really feel like they're giving us meaning, we really have to understand our top values and figure out how do we start living in alignment to them. I'll use an example for many people that I talk to, you know, what are some of the top values that we often see? Sometimes it's security. Sometimes it's a lot of times family or faith. But health is one that comes up a lot as well. And if we recognize what our top values are, it's not only saying, hey, this is a value of mine, but then thinking through, okay, so if health is a value, you know, I'll use myself for an example, on a scale of, you know, 1 to 10, how do I feel like I'm leaning into my value of health compared to, you know, 10, my ideal? And then sitting there and saying, okay, so, you know, let's say I think I'm at a six out of seven. It's just, you know, what would it really take to get me to a seven? Right? We don't always need to look just for perfection, but how do we start making those incremental adjustments and what would it take? And tying that in, then on the finance side, you know, I look at, you know, one of the things we said in Two Truths and a Lie was that Pilates is one of my favorite forms of exercise. But let me be sure, Pilates is not an inexpensive form of exercise. If you go to a studio that has the reformer machines, I mean, you can very well be paying $200 a month. And that's not a small price tag for many people. But if, for example, if health is your top, one of your top values, and you realize dedicating those dollars is going to give you, you know, what does it give me? It gives me that ability to center my mind, make sure I'm working on my health, my longevity, my overall body, and show up. I know when I do Pilates, I show up better for my family. I show up better at work, and it makes me the best version of myself. When you're dealing with finances, you may say, you know what, that Pilates studio, it's worth the cost. And then we have to look at, you know, what may need to give in order to make that happen. But if we understand the top priorities, it makes it a lot easier to create. How do we connect finances with the things that matter most?
I love it. It makes so much sense that really figuring out and determining what your true north is. So it's your top priorities, which are your values, really getting clear on that, because sometimes I think that we think that we can have so many different things be our top priority, but only one thing can be, and then aligning our time, our attention, our energy, and obviously our money then that's the evidence that this is most important.
Yes.
How do you think that, and then I know that the title of your book is Intentional Legacy, and so a big part of what we're talking about is just being intentional. If I said that health is important to me, how intentional am I being with that? In terms of legacy, that's also kind of a big question right there. How do you think about that?
Legacy is a huge topic for me. I think so many people get legacy wrong in their understanding. Because when you talk to people, it's like, well, what's the legacy you're going to leave? And they're thinking, okay, I've got, you know, this IRA that's going to go to my children and it's split three ways. And here's the monetary value. But I really believe your legacy, it's your life, it's your lessons, it's everything you do along the way that you'll be remembered for. So it's being, you know, on that word intentionality, it's in the moment, how do you show up? You know, I have a 3-year-old daughter, and so I run a business. Life is very busy sometimes, but I need to look up and say, well, what lessons do I want instilled in her? And how do I create the time, the capacity? Because family is a value of mine, and I want to make sure that there's alignment there. Because what she'll remember me for is almost as important, if not more important, than dollars and cents.
I think that's really powerful to view legacy as, not only am I leaving you an asset of some kind, money, a house, a boat, a jet ski, a Pilates machine, but also I'm leaving you a legacy of values, of intention, of treating things with the importance that I've decided to treat them with, and that's not something we actually do. It's not something we just talk about.
And I see that, like, for example, you know, on the theme of having children, if for this is also, we're getting to a time of year where people are thinking about, you know, what giving are they doing? Are they giving back to charities, things of that nature? And that may, for some generations or some households, be something that's really important. So if that's a lesson you want to pass on to the next generation, it's thinking about, how do you get that next generation involved? It could be, you know, if you're volunteering, you know, do you get them to volunteer alongside of you? Or if you want to give a certain amount to charity each year, do you bring them in as part of the conversation to say, okay, we're going to give this much, what do you recommend we give to? What should we consider? And hearing their voices and helping to get them involved in that, whether it's just giving outright as part of, you know, donor advised fund strategies, in whatever direction that could take.
So many things are, there's so many different layers to that I think are so important. I know that so many of the beliefs that we have around everything, but certainly money, are formed when we're little kids and the experience that we had. So if you can help your daughter, if I can help my kids to view money as a tool that's going to help us get the things that we want versus thinking of it as something negative, thinking of it as the root of all evil or whatever it might be, you're really setting your kids up for hopefully long-term success when it comes to money.
You know, and as you mentioned, that's a question when I'm working with somebody who's new to me, coming into our practice, wanting to work with us, I will ask them, what was money like for you growing up? And then it's important just to really pause and listen. I've seen everything from, I had that conversation with a client recently, and one of them, their parents made decent money, but could not stop having credit cards that just kept putting the family in debt. The other individual, you know, their family just did not have much. And so they were always scrimping and saving, but doing the best that they could. This couple has been much more successful probably than either of their parents, but they love to hold on to cash. So it was like, why are we holding on to all of this cash? But really peeling back those layers to understand, okay, a lot of your habits are really tied to how you grew up, what you learned about money. How do I, as your advisor, not just take my worldview, but also understand where you're coming from and then say, okay, so maybe that means we're going to keep a good bit more in reserves or conservative, because for you emotionally, that is so essential based on how you grew up.
It's really powerful. And I don't know that most people put those dots together or are able to connect those dots, so that's a conversation you have with clients as you're getting to know one another. Certainly makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think as a younger advisor starting out, it was, okay, I'm meeting with people and I'm looking at their situation. I'm doing a diagnosis and I'm telling them, you know, here's the actions you need to do. Here's the next steps. But if it wasn't tied to what's most important to them, they're not going to do it. We're not going to get the level of impact. So in that spirit of intentionality or impact, it's really tied into how do we connect with them and really seek to understand them. And I've realized, you know, I used to think doing financial advice, it was so much about being good at math and numbers and getting good returns. And all of that is essential, but there's so much coaching that goes into it. And that's really where you feel like you can make a massive impact.
It's, to your point, the natural progression. When you're a new advisor, the things you focus on are going to be so much different than when you start to figure things out a little bit better. And I know from my kids, like I could be sitting down and trying to create some kind of a plan for getting good at soccer with my oldest. And I could put together a 10 out of 10 plan, but if he thinks it's crap, then it's going to be crap. And his plan that might be a 6 out of 10 is still going to be the one he executes on. So
yeah. How do you make it his idea?
Exactly. Yeah. But it's just by asking questions, right? And that's what you do with your clients. Say, I can tell you what matters to me and I can put together a perfect financial plan. But if you don't think that it's perfect or it doesn't matter to you, then it's not going to matter. You're not going to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hard won wisdom, Morgan. I like it.
You know, and we just keep adding layers and we learn from stories and just continue to try to grow as, I think, individuals. And that's been really huge for me working with my team, is we've really leaned into the behavioral understanding, the human aspect of it all, and getting our team trained to really lean into the coaching side, because we know that's where you don't feel like a number. You feel like your team really knows you.
Yeah. What a gift to be able to give somebody to make them feel seen and heard and understood.
It helps me go home at night and feel like we're making an impact.
Yeah, which you certainly are. So I love it. Well, Morgan, you've already given us a lot, but we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
You know, what I'd really think about, you know, in consideration of all of this, before you dive in and you try to audit your checkbook to see where all the money's going, if you understand your values, look at your calendar and look to see where you truly spending your time. Because if you say family is my top value, but you look at your calendar and there's no time for your family and all you are is at work all the time, that may be a bigger shift or a bigger impact in getting you the life you want to live. And so a calendar check, it can be humbling at times, but it's worth doing.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on. It's the truth. If our budget is evidence of what matters to us with our finances, then our calendar is the evidence or the lack of evidence of what I say is really important to me.
Yeah.
It's true. And if you really want to freak yourself out, you go audit your time, how you spent the last 12 hours, and be really honest with yourself. So not you and I, Morgan, other people. We're
being
perfect.
Intentional, right?
Yes. Yes, we are. We are being perfectly intentional. Well, Morgan, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you? Where can they get their copy of Intentional Legacy?
So we wrote Intentional Legacy book, came out earlier this year, and you can request a copy at intentionallegacybook.com. And if you want to learn more about me and my team, our website is lifebranchwealth.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Morgan your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to intentionallegacybook.com and get your copy of Intentional Legacy. And then to learn more about Morgan and her work, go to, what is the website again?
Lifebranchwealth.com.
lifebranchwealth.com. We will certainly link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Morgan.
Wonderful. Thanks for having me on today, George.
Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.